Paul Auster is the author of 10 novels and numerous works of nonfiction. He's also written poetry and several successful screenplays. In many ways, his subject always remains the infinite mysteries of the human heart. Characters are generally searchers in Auster's novels. In the New York trilogy, people identified by a single letter or color perpetually search an interlocking maze of surreal circumstances. Auster's latest book, The Book of Illusions, is a novel predicated on grief, but still explores the mystery of identity. David Zimmer is a university professor who's undergone huge tragedy and who stumbles upon Hector Mann, a silent film director who's presumed dead for decades. That, says Auster, will begin one man's journey and the redemption of two men. In the beginning of the novel, Auster describes David Zimmer as numbed and left void by sadness.
He's teaching in a small college in Vermont when, after about 10 years of marriage and two small children, his wife and two boys are killed in a plane crash. And he spirals into a kind of drunken, grief-stricken period of about 6 months in which he's not really able to do anything. One night, he's sitting on the sofa in his living room with his friendly bottle of whiskey, surfing channels, and he stumbles across a clip of one of Hector Mann's films.
Let's talk about Hector Mann. Zimmer finds him different from Buster Keaton, different from Charlie Chaplin, and yet a completely compelling figure. Would you read?
Well, this is what happens the first time David sees Hector. This is on page 10 of the novel. Hector Mann didn't come on until late in the program, and when he did, they showed only one clip, a 2-minute sequence from The Teller's Tale, which was set in a bank and featured Hector in the role of a hard-working assistant clerk. I can't explain why it grabbed me, but there he was in his white tropical suit and his thin black mustache, standing at a table and counting out piles of money. And he worked with such furious efficiency, such lightning speed and manic concentration, refusing to allow these petty frustrations to thwart his purpose or puncture his good opinion of himself. It might not have been the most extraordinary bit of comedy I had ever seen, but it pulled me in until I was completely caught up in it. And by the second or third twitch of Hector's mustache, I was laughing, actually laughing out loud.
And is it the laughter that becomes the compelling reason for David Zimmer to search out this director who he quickly discovers has vanished, nobody has seen or heard of him in decades?
That's right. I think the laugh, which comes by total surprise to Zimmer, is something that proves to him that he's not completely dead. And this leads to the writing of a book about Hector's films, a kind of arbitrary kind of work that will keep him occupied and engaged in the world and somehow give him a chance not to dwell on his grief. But after the project is over, he pretty much forgets about Hector. Eventually it's published, but many, many months later, it's at that point, after the book is published, that he gets a mysterious little note from a woman in New Mexico claiming to be Hector Mann's wife, saying, "Hector has read your book and would like to meet you." And that's really where the story begins.
You've written several movies, Smoke, Blue in the Face, and directed one, Lulu on the Bridge. Is this part of your obsession with film, that Hector happens to be a silent film director?
Well, weirdly enough, Hector appeared to me, came into my mind one day about 12 or 13 years ago, before I had ever started working in movies myself. I had always had this desire to write a little book that would simply be his films, his silent films. But over the years, as Hector stayed with me, a story began to grow up around him, and it became the quite complex novel that this Book of Illusions is now. I've always had a very big weakness for silent comedy. I think it's one of the most beautiful expressions of humanity we've ever managed to produce.
We mentioned your interest in reinvention and in subverting reality, and a lot of little things happen on moments of chance, random moments that turn out to pivot the whole action. Is there some throughway in that for you?
Well, it seems to me that I'm just trying to write stories about the world as I understand it, and Our wills and desires are often thwarted by unpredictable events, and how we cope with those events is, I think, where stories are born, really.
How are both Hector Mann and David Zimmer people who reinvent themselves?
David does it through first work and drowning himself in work. After the Hector Mann project, he undertakes a translation of a 2,000-page French book, The Memoirs of Chateaubriand. And then, most importantly, by meeting a woman named Alma Grund, who, in some sense, gives David's life back to him.
Lots of great names in this novel.
You know, they just come to me, and there's nothing I can do about it. There they are.
Chateaubriand, okay, that's an established name. But Hector Mann, does that name have any sort of history?
Not that I know of. It's just something that appealed to me. He's an Argentinian Jew, originally born Chaim Mandelbaum, and he changes his name to Hector Mann.
How does Hector Mann reinvent himself?
First of all, disappearing. And then going through a number of different incarnations, dock worker, factory worker, looking, I think, most keenly for a way to kill himself, but he doesn't have the courage to do it. He stumbles into yet another terrible passage in his life with a woman named Sylvia Mears in Chicago, in which he's actually involved in public sex shows. This is all, in a way, to mortify himself, to punish himself. At the moment when he's hit bottom, he winds up, for various complicated reasons, in Sandusky, Ohio, and happens to be present during a bank robbery. And that bank robbery nearly gets him killed, but at the same time gives him back a new life.
You've given David Zimmer a number of tasks here, but essentially he has to bring back the dead.
In some sense, you're right. And yet, every time he reaches out for something, he thinks it's there, it seems to vanish. And I think that's why the book has the title it does. So much is ephemeral in his life, his whole marriage and fatherhood, for example. In one moment, it's just gone, as if it had all been an illusion. And so much of what he discovers about Hector turns out to be an illusion as well.
Paul Auster, thank you very much for a most compelling story.
Thanks, Jackie.
Paul Auster, his new book is called The Book of Illusions.